This week, we're on Article 15 of the Chicago Declaration on Biblical Inerrancy. This document was written in 1978 because there was a need to explain what we mean by the doctrine of inerrancy. For me, and I think for many of us, as we've gone through this document this time, we've become more and more convinced of the importance of this belief, of this doctrine. Today, it explains the relationship between inerrancy and inspiration. So in Article 15, we find this statement. We affirm that the doctrine of inerrancy is grounded in the teaching of the Bible about inspiration. Many of us know what we mean by inspiration when we say the Bible or the scriptures are inspired by God, meaning God breathed. But where do we get the doctrine of inerrancy from? We don't find the term in the Bible, but the doctrine itself comes from the Bible. Even our doctrine about the Bible itself must come from the scriptures themselves. The Bible we would hold to is self-authenticating, meaning it proclaims what it is itself, and we either believe it or not. And for those of us who are Christians, we must believe in the self-authentication of Scripture, that the Bible speaks clearly of itself and affirms what it is concerning itself. The doctrine of inerrancy is inseparable from the doctrine of inspiration. Inerrancy, though, as we said, is not used, but it is expressed whenever we speak of the Bible as the Word of God, or when we hear the prophets say, "Thus saith the Lord," or even in John 10:35, Jesus speaks of the Scriptures as being unbroken. He describes in Matthew 5:18 how not one jot or tittle, not one little bit, not one little word will pass away until all is fulfilled. Paul affirms inspiration in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed or inspired by God. And it is unthinkable that God would inspire a scripture that is fraudulent, false, or deceitful. And though inerrancy is not expressly stated in scripture, inspiration is. And the term inerrancy is meant to do justice to explaining what we mean by inspiration. We deny that Jesus' teaching about Scripture may be dismissed by appeals to accommodation or to any natural limitation of his humanity. We claim this is the very view of Scripture that Jesus held to and practiced, that Jesus affirmed inerrancy and inspiration. So when Jesus says that Moses wrote of him, he is giving authority to Moses as the author of the Pentateuch. And therefore, the basis for saying that Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, are the words of Jesus himself. And even though we admit that in his human nature, Jesus was not omniscient, we know that he did not teach by his own authority. But Jesus, even though, as we said, he was not omniscient in his humanity, affirmed this statement in John 8:28. So Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father has taught me." So he speaks the words of the Father. If Jesus was guilty of sin, then these words were fraudulent. And this is a fraudulent lie. And therefore, if Jesus lied and was guilty of the sin of being wrong about the nature and authority of Scripture, then when Jesus died, he would be dying for his own sins and could not atone for yours or mine. But the scriptures teach that Jesus was without sin and did not lie, and thus his words speak truth about the authority of scripture. We cannot accept the fashionable belief that Jesus speaks truthfully about redemption, but not about history. In John 3:12, Jesus said, "How can you believe me concerning heavenly things when you cannot believe me concerning earthly. We believe that Jesus' principle of the trustworthiness of his teaching concerning both heavenly and earthly things, and that his teaching about the inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible must be maintained and must be affirmed. Amen.